Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celian. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, it's Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to try to move as quickly as we can through the questions. We ask you to be right to the point with your comments, questions. I'll try to do the same with my answers and comments, and then we'll move on. We try to do that every Friday. We do have our Ag Report coming up here in a little bit. So let me just, before Craig comes for our Ag Report, and then next segment, we'll get right back to phones, in which we will stay with phones. No other interruptions, unless there's some kind of breaking news. We'll stay with that for the next hour and 45 minutes. Before I go to this, though, let me just go to Ian. Ian's got... what number we have, Ian? I forget what we're even...
the job openings and labor turnover.
Oh, yeah. Okay, job openings. What is it?
So currently job openings didn't change very much. It's at 7.6
million. 7.6
million. That is, yeah, and that's according to the last business day on January.
Now, 7.6 million, by the way, is an all-time record. That is a record since they've been keeping records on that. That is amazing, 7.6. Anyway, go ahead.
And then beyond that, we just have hires and separations. And those didn't really change too much. Hires is at 5.8 million. Separations is at 5.6 million. And the quits rate as well didn't change from last December. It's still at 2.3%.
Okay, good. So you don't have, and all you have is, you don't have any history on the quits rate, do you?
I do, yes.
Oh,
I do have
you
a
do?
Little bit of history,
okay.
Yeah. The only other time it changed was in the summer of 2018. We have July through... I believe it's September. July through September, it went up to 2.4%, although that was revised to 2.3. So actually, it's just been steadily increasing throughout 2018. So in January, it started out at 2.0, went up to 2.1 in February, 2.2 throughout March and May, and then 2.3 for the rest of the year.
Okay, great. And right now, it's what? 2.1?
It's still 2.3.
2.3 still. Okay. So we did see... Thanks, Ian. Good stuff. So we did see an increase in quits rate. See, quits rates are very, very important that we continue to see quit rates staying somewhat consistent. And it's good to see that bump up when we went from 2.2 to 2.4, because I knew there was somewhere in there, because I remember talking about it. Apparently, it was last summer that I was talking about it. That is huge. And the reason why you like quit rates to be pretty decent and even going up is it shows real strength in the economy. People don't quit their job unless they know they can get another job. Now, I got to believe with a 7.6 million job openings, which is ridiculous, that is off the charts. So companies are still looking, even in this environment, to hire people and to fill jobs. And I find that amazing. So hopefully we'll see labor participation rate get better at the end of this month, and we'll see. But great 7.6 million people, or a million job open, 7.6. We better fix our legal immigration system. We better do it quick. Anyway, great stuff. Thanks. All right, I wanted to tell you about, we talked about this yesterday. So here's a tweet that you can see that I sent out. Unfortunately, I wasn't prepared to say this very well, so I can't see the tweet. But basically, what you see in the tweet that I sent out is everybody's picture, the 12 that voted with Chuck Schumer, and the 12 Republicans that voted for Chuck Schumer, and I list them by names in the tweet. And so then we had President Trump put out a tweet, and President Trump's tweet said, I don't know what it said. Ian, can you read it? Because I can't see it.
President Trump's tweet?
Yes.
He says, I look forward to vetoing the just-passed Democrat-inspired resolution, which would open borders while increasing crime, drugs, and trafficking in our country. I thank all of the strong Republicans who voted to support border security and our desperately needed wall.
Mm. So how true is that? And, you know, so we've got all these, Republicans, 12 of them, that couldn't. And did you hear some of the excuses? Mitt Romney said, well, I'm for border security. No, you're not. No, I'm for border. No, you're not, Mitt. Well, this is a constitutional issue. Actually, it isn't. And we'll find that out. So how foolish are they going to look if it does go to the Supreme Court and find out it isn't a constitutional issue at all? This was an excuse for the haters to hate. But here's what I want to point out. How much more we have to act? 2 minutes. Okay, so here's the point I really want to make. The beauty of this, so we got 12 people. I know we've been calling the switchboard. Let's call those 12. Let's call those 12, 202-224-3121. Ask for their office. Tell them that we are extremely discouraged, disappointed, and we now know that they can't fight for the American people. And let them know that. And we need to call them. We need to light up the switchboard doing that. 202-224-3121. But here's what I really like. So remember yesterday I was talking about Tillis from North Carolina. He was one of the ones that were sitting on the fence. Well, Tillis, and I can't think of the other person, forgive me, that didn't the change their vote and voted with Republicans. Both of them are the only two out of 14 that are coming up for re-election. So they decided, since we're coming up for re-election in 2020, we better vote with the rest of the Republicans. And I loved it because it confirmed what I've been saying, what weasels they are. In other words, they know that they're going against their people, the people of America and their constituents. They know they're going against it. And you can bet your life that the 12 that voted with Schumer were coming up for re-election in 2020, they would have voted with Republicans too. Proving the point that it's all about their re-election and their hatred. It's got nothing to do with what is right for the American people and what their constituents want from them. We'll be right back after this.
This is Craig Hoggard with your Financial Issues Ag update for April 2nd. The corn experienced a combination of good weekly exports and fund buying to propel it higher on Monday. Weekly export inspections of 49.6 million bushels were above the top end of trade guesses. Funds bought back about half of what they sold on Friday as the market closed up about a nickel. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading unchanged. With the announcement of a sale of soybeans to China, the bean market was optimistically higher on Monday. Weekly export inspections were disappointing at 26.9 million bushels, and it is worth noting that right now Brazilian soybeans are cheaper than U.S. beans even before the tariff. In spite of that, the overnight spot trade soybean futures are up an additional 3 cents. On paper, U.S. wheat is the most competitive wheat in the world export market, and that reality helped move prices higher yesterday. Weekly export inspections came in at 15.4 million bushels. Now, with roughly 8 weeks left in the marketing year, export loadings are running 1.1 million metric tons behind last year, so we do have a little bit of work to do. After the close, we had our first weekly crop conditions report for winter wheat, with the crop being pegged at 56%, good to excellent. A year ago, 32% of the crop fell into that category. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Minneapolis are 2 cents lower, while Kansas City is down 4. Cotton futures slipped backwards, with May futures down 25 points to settle at 77.36, and the overnight trade spot futures are trading an additional 51 points lower. Cattle futures were stronger, while hogs slipped a bit. For the day, June live cattle were up 47.5 points, while May feeder cattle were 10 points higher. Lean hogs lost a little ground, with May futures down 32.5 points for the day. Class 3 milk futures continue to work higher, with May futures up 4 points, settling at 15.52 yesterday. In the overnight trade, they're trading down a point. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 80 cents higher at 226.84, while selects were up 44 cents to settle at 219.33. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 82 cents higher for the day, settling at $82.15. Well, this has been Craig Hoggard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Be right back.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility,
provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Hey, welcome back. Listen, just wanted to mention to you the consumer confidence numbers. They were up. They were from 95.5 to 97.8. This is the Michigan sentiment number. Don't like that number much. I don't have a huge amount of confidence in it, but nonetheless, the reason why I bring it up is yesterday on the conference call, what did I talk about? Does anybody remember? We had, I'm sure by now, at least 5,000 or 6,000 people have heard it. So, look, remember I was talking about trends, right? And what I'm watching, you remember me saying what I consider a trend? Well, just this morning, in some of the economic data, the trend's already been, some of the trends that I was waiting for, that I was talking about, that said were a trend, were not a trend, but were seeing some negative downturn in the last couple of months. And, you know, if that continues for another two or three, depending on what the indicator was, I said could be a trend, and then we start to worry a little bit. Well, we just had some trends this morning. They're off the table now. Now we're right now back to square one, where we're going to have to look at another 4 or 5 months out to see if it becomes a trend in a negative way, because they just took a dramatic turn. So interesting. Makes me feel good. It's a great way to go on a weekend. Doesn't take much to get me excited. Only some numbers that most people don't even know what the heck I'm talking about. Anyway, good. So good stuff. Not getting overly excited. Still got that yellow lights flashing, but just throwing that out there for you. If you are a partner, you listen to the conference call, you kind of know more what I'm talking about. Anyway, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mike. Mike's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dan. Hey, boy, I tell you what, I appreciate your ministry, and I appreciate everything you do to keep us informed. The vote yesterday was so disappointing, you know, I called Rob Portman's office and let them know how I felt about it, and it didn't change his vote, but yeah. It does let us know the rhinos that are in our presence. So,
amen.
And I wouldn't know that without you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Because that's important, Mike. It's important that we stay informed, and we've got to be better voters and better equipped to stand firm in so many areas. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It keeps me informed and keeps me into what's going on. So, hey, I did have one question for you.
Yep.
I'm looking at an energy company, E22.
Okay.
That is not on your current buy list, but it's down enough that I thought about buying it down, but didn't know what you thought about that as far as just buying it down, since I've already got some.
Yeah, you know,
down
that's
about 20% right now. I don't know if it's worth buying down yet or not.
Yeah, it's down. I think it's probably worth here buying down. That stock's been killing me as well, and I've been me personally in my IRA account. I bought down probably it was last year, end of last year. So it's probably November, December. I wish I had to wait a little bit longer, but it is what it is. I'm not going to buy down anymore because I just can't. But I'll hang in there and wait. Here's, I think, and so I set this up, what I'm about to say, with the notion that I was wrong back in December, so I could be wrong now. But I just feel like we're probably really, really close to a bottom. Could it go down another $5? I think it could. The reason why, when we look at this stock and we say, man, you know, it was on your buy list at such and such, and yet it's never been back on your buy list, my issue with it is debt. That's my issue. That's my biggest issue. That's what's holding me back. And I have watched so many oil companies and energy companies doing unbelievably strong, powerful job and seeing their future, understanding that they've got to deleverage. They got to begin to get out of debt. And some of them have done an unbelievable job. And so these guys have not done such a good job. And it doesn't look like, from what I can see, that they have a whole lot of interest in doing more deleveraging. They've done some, but it doesn't look like they have a lot of interest in it. And I'm concerned about it, not concerned enough that I would sell it or anything, but I am concerned about it from a volatility perspective, and I think it's still going to have some more volatility. So, you know, I would probably sit tight and wait at this point for a 40-day movement on the upside. And by the way, we have had more than a 40-day uptick on this stock. So in saying that, you would think, well, this is a good time to buy, and it should be. Not a good value at this point because of a number of things they have going point on. If we saw 30 or 40 days movement up on the upside, which still probably wouldn't put you back to, you know, where you purchased it at. I won't put it back to where I purchased that originally. But I think it would now we're looking at a real, real trend of moving upward, and then I would dollar cost average. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, yep. God bless.
Bye.
Let me go to Louise calling us from South Dakota, or Lewis.
Louise.
It is Louise. Okay. That's my dislike.
Hi. Yeah. I had a comment and a question.
Okay.
I am on disability, Social Security disability. I turned 65, and the Social Security office says next year I'll be on regular Social Security.
Right.
And I'm also on Medicaid, and in South Dakota, they've closed, I think, at least 3 nursing homes because the Medicaid reimbursement is not adequate to maintain the nursing homes, and most of them, you know, unfortunately, that is where the majority of their income came from.
Sure.
And so I bought a life insurance that I thought was term. And turns out it's whole life. And under Medicaid rules, you're allowed to have $2,000 in assets. Well, I'm getting close to $2,000 to that line. And I'm wondering if I should cash it in. I wanted to have something for burial expenses and so forth, but... I doubt with my health history that I've had a heart attack. I've had a couple of stents since. My health just isn't good. Insurance isn't going to be easy. And I don't look to see that, you know, I need a knee replacement. And one of the things is a lot of people will go into a nursing home for 2-3 weeks for intense rehab, and I don't know if that's even an option for me.
Can't you change? Aren't you ready to change to Medicare?
I am on Medicare.
Oh, you're on Medicare. I thought you said Medicaid. Okay.
For a while, yeah.
So here's what you need to do. You need to get rid of that insurance policy, keep the cash, put it in a savings account. And then look for one of these insurance companies that you see on TV. They're very legitimate. that they don't have any health checkup kind of thing. And for, I'm making a number up because I don't remember what it is, but for $7.95 a month, you can get some coverage. And it's a term policy, so you can have it. And you don't, and the premium never changes. So that would be a way for you to at least be able to have some money for your burial expenses, your last expenses. And that's what you can do, and that's what I would look for. The costs isn't going to go up. They're going to take you, and you're not going to have to worry about when I'm 75, you know, the cost is going to be three times what I'm paying. That's not going to happen. And you just keep that policy intact and pay a little bit of it every month.
Yeah, right now it's $32 a month. I kind of glanced, not very seriously, at some of those look like they were $10 a thousand for.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would look at those for your insurance, and once you lock in the price, they stay.
Yeah. Even though it would, well, I guess $30 a month would equal $2,000 insurance. That would.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna cover every little aspect, but it's gonna give some help, that's for sure.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Louise. I wish you all the best, and thank you for calling. You know, one of the issues, folks, that we have that we've really got to address, and I'll tell you, I am just hoping that I believe that if President Trump gets reelected and we can grab the Congress. Now, this is, you know, I'm saying this at the very same time that we are seeing the spineless weasels rearing their ugly head again. But at the same time, we have got to fix Social Security. And this notion of nobody wanting to talk about it, somebody's got to have the guts to step up and fix it. And Medicare has to be fixed. Medicaid has to be fixed. We've got to do it. There are easy fixes. All right, we're going to get right back to phones. 844-707-5533. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Seeley. It's great to be here. Let me go to David. Hey, David.
Hey, sir. Hey, first, I'd like to tell you thank you for what you do with Operation Preborn. I mean, God has really been convicting me to get involved with that, mostly because, you know, it's so much more than murder. It's really torture ending in death for those
yes.
little babies. So
yes.
I want to tell you thank you first. But so I have two questions for you. One is, you know, I'm almost debt-free, and is it wise, with the exception of the house, is it wiser to use disposable income and invest it or to pay off the house? I'm paying about 3.5 on my mortgage rate.
How many years are you going to be working?
Well, I'm 51, so probably another 14 or 15.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm okay with, do you feel pretty good about that it's going to get paid off no matter what, 15 years, 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, David. I mean, I think that discretionary income ought to be going into retirement accounts. Your goal, think of it this way, your goal is when you go to retirement, you don't have that debt. You know, you don't have that mortgage payment to free up your cash flow. So that's what you want to try to do. So I at 3.5%, no, I probably wouldn't pay it down. I would like to see you continue to save and invest. And I think that's probably right now, based on the fact that you don't have any other debt, a wiser use for you is with all the time that you have to work. You know, if something were to happen, obviously, where it became burdensome to pay the mortgage, then, of course, you know, you're going to wish you paid it off, but you still can. You know, you pay it off then. But I wouldn't do it now.
Okay. Hey, and my other question is, so I'm coming towards the end of a 10-year term life insurance policy for my sweetheart, who's also my wife, which makes it very convenient. But Is it wiser at after 50 to look at a whole life insurance policy or to continue on with 10-year term policies?
Well, here's what I would do. I mean, I would tell you to get a 20-year level term and be done with it. The theory being that, you know, we should pay money for that. It's an important thing to have, but only if your wife is going to suffer a real financial hardship upon your death. Right now, she would, because she would need money to pay the mortgage off and to be able to, you know, get any other things paid off that she needs, or to have a little extra money to invest to replace some of the income that you provide. So, yes, I it sounds to me like there could yet be a financial hardship. And so I wouldn't get a 10-year level term, because for a little bit more money, you can get it 20 years. And 20 years is going to take you, you know, out to be 70 years old. And then, you know, at 72 or whatever it is when that's over, I would hope that you guys are in a good enough situation with your 401ks and your you know, no debt and all that, that, you know, financial life for your wife's going to go on as usual if the Lord were to call you home early. And so I wouldn't do a whole life. I think it's too much money. I'd rather see you again use that money for savings and investing.
Oh, that's great. I hadn't thought of a 20-year. Are you allowed to recommend one? I mean, right now I'm with USAA.
But... No, I'll tell you what I would do, what I've done, and I tell people to do. I would go to SelectAQuote.com, just SelectAQuote.com. You put in your information. You're going to get three quotes from A-rated companies. They're good, strong companies. The reason I say that to go there is because they're always shopping for the best rates and life insurance rates. So companies have a year where they're real cheap, and then the next year they could be the highest in the market. You know, they do that very intentionally. And so you're going to get the best rates, probably lower than USAA, I hate to say, unfortunately. But I would just go there, pick the least expensive one. It's going to be a good company, and go with that.
Okay. And I'm disappointed you're going to be in Olive Branch. So
why?
Please come back to West Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Yeah, I got to come back to Tennessee. Boy, that was a great town hall meeting when we were there last. So I'll get working on that. Thank you, David. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep. David reminded me about Preborn, and folks, it is an incredible ministry. And, you know, we get a lot of new listeners every day. And let me tell you something. You need to call #250. And for $140, it's going to be the best investment you ever have made. And I don't say that it is the best investment you will ever make with the money that God has given you. And with that $140, you're sponsoring 5 ultrasounds. So Preborn supplies an ultrasound machine free of charge to a clinic, a pregnancy center. The pregnancy center has to agree to their evangelism program that they share with these young mothers-to-be. And hopefully, and 4,200 of these young mothers accepted Christ over the last couple of years. Financial Issues listeners have saved now tens of thousands of babies. 80% of these young mothers that are planning on an abortion, 80% of them will change their mind and choose life when they hear the heartbeat and see that ultrasound and get a little counseling. 80%. And that's the national statistic. And that's all Preborn lets me use. But I know for sure of one center in Nebraska that it's 95%. It's amazing. So your 5 ultrasounds that you sponsor for $100, you're going to save 4 lives. You can count on it. And if you pray over that $140, I really feel like 5 lives are going to be saved. And it is an amazing ministry. This is a way that we can push back the darkness of death, torture, and abortion. We can push it back, the darkness of this world that is all about that. So Check it out. And you can dial. The phone number is #250. They're going to ask you for a key word. Easy to remember. It's baby. Keyword is baby. And you can give that $140. And, you know, these centers, these pregnancy centers are always working on a shoestring. I mean, it's hard to stay in operation. And they are, you know, now they've got an ultrasound machine. So now they have an RN and other staff. And so this money will go to one center, this $140, and it'll sponsor five ultrasounds. And we, Financial Issues, participated in saving a center, the second largest abortion area, the Jamaica section of Queens, New York. There was a lady there that started a pregnancy center, Christian lady that started a pregnancy center to help save babies. And she was closing the doors because she just couldn't raise enough money. She needed $250,000 to keep it open. And we raised over $500,000. So she's good for another 2 years. But that was because of all of you. And it's in the heartbeat of, unfortunately, the abortion area of the country. So we're so grateful. So check it out. You can go to preborn.org. Go to our website, click on their banner, and you'll see more about the organization. Let me go to Christy calling us from Texas. Hey, Christy.
Hey, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for your ministry.
Sure.
I am an avid listener and appreciate everything you have to say.
Thank you.
My question is about the oil industry. My family's in agriculture. I run a beekeeping business. We move bees around the country. And for years and years, the price of diesel fuel has been lower than the price of gasoline up until the Obama administration. And, you know, it went above the price of gasoline, and it has yet to come back down.
Yes.
You talk a lot about the oil industry, and I've been asking the question for years and have yet to get an answer as to why. It seems like it was arbitrarily raised, and I don't understand. I mean, it's such a big factor in industry.
It is. It is. And the reason why, and that happened about the time I changed to a diesel truck. So I'm very familiar with how it seems like since I've change since I've had my diesel truck that prices have gone up and continue to go up. But this happened as a
up. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, it is. And this happened as a result of the Obama EPA rules and regulations. And one of the things that the Obama EPA did was attack the trucking industry and the diesel fuel. And so they forced rules and regulations that were, I don't know how old your trucks are. My truck burns clean diesel. Now, it's annoying. It's annoying for me. And it was very expensive for that engine to be developed and to be put in, and it was all passed along to the buyer. Well, these tractor trailers are getting clobbered with over-the-road expenses and all in the with the notion that they are contributing, they need to contribute heavier to clean air than any other industry. And I hoped when President Trump came back and his EPA came in, which I do believe is going to change, those rules and regulations are beginning to change. And as they change, then we're going to have to try to hold the oil industry accountable to not price gouging, you know, and keep the higher prices.
Yeah.
But that's what's done it. And
trusted name in precious metals investing for over 50 years.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here, folks. We got another hour and 15 minutes left. So make sure you queue your call up, 844-707-5533. I was talking to Christy from Texas before the break. We both got cut off there into the commercial. You know, we're talking about the diesel fuel. So the EPA regulations that we're hoping are getting changed, it's going to be difficult to do right now because the EPA is going to be coming under an enormous amount of fire from Congress. But there is some of the rules and regulations that we can fix. We just haven't got to them yet. I do believe that this president has gone through the EPA with a fine-tooth comb. He has made major changes into the water rights that farmers have and grazing lands, all kinds of things that are very, very important. And diesel is one of those things that we just haven't really attacked yet. But a lot of it now has lost its way to the Department of Transportation. And the Department of Transportation, from a taxing perspective, and instead of it's not just an over-road tax, it is special tax that truckers pay now based on so many different things, weights, loads, and all those kinds of things. But unfortunately, it's like summer fuel all the time for diesel. So we're getting ready in our cars to switch over to summer gasoline, which is held to a very a much higher standard of cleanliness, so to speak, in the summer, and it's more expensive to produce. So that's why April 1st rolls around. We always see gas prices go up, and then they go down a little bit when winter fuel kicks in. So diesel has that summer fuel kind of on steroids, and it's, you know, every month of the year, and that's why the difference, more than any other reason.
Well, I appreciate your voice out there. You know, you have a big audience, and I think it makes a difference that people like you are making noise about these issues because it affects just so many businesses.
It really does, Christy, and it's really, you know, it affects the honey that we buy at the stores because, you know, people like you are spending more money to move your bees, you know, all over the place. And, you know, and then, you know, so it does affect all our produce. It affects everything. And somebody's got to be at least hammering and talking about it. And the beauty of what we have here with a large megaphone is as God raises up, I mean, never in a million years did we try or think that he'd raise up, you know, the megaphone that we have in every state in the country, 570 stations. But as that continues to grow, it gives us a much louder voice and a much bigger voice and a more powerful voice. So hopefully that'll continue to happen as well. And I will continue to be a voice wherever we can. That is for sure. So I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you mentioning that. So we appreciate it. Wish you all the best, and we'll keep praying about all the issues that are affecting our economy. And you know what? The biggest control that we have, folks, is our vote. And, man, we've got to be so vigilant. We've got to be vigilant to the likes of which we have never seen. We thought the last presidential election was going to be about vigilance and how hard-lined we had to be and how faithful we had to be to get out there, man. It's a lot stronger now. Let me go to Joshua in Arkansas. Hey, Joshua.
Hello, Dan. How are you doing today?
Good.
Before going into this, I just wanted to point out, I think it's in Jeremiah, where Judah was getting ready to be taken captive into Babylon, and they were commanded to pray for the peace of Babylon, and they were told that how Babylon went, their futures would be tied with Babylon's.
Right.
And you mentioned earlier about not keeping your funds, 100% of your funds in qualified accounts because the government has or believes they have control of those funds.
Right.
Well, they also have control of your non-qualified funds as well. We are looking at the same socialist people who are out there like AOC who are talking about trying to increase the taxes on capital gains tax. We're looking at the last lady was talking about diesel prices. It's the if you look at the production of diesel, it costs less money to produce a gallon of diesel than it does gasoline. It is taxed at a higher rate.
Right.
So it's the government who's tapping into all these non-qualified areas. This country right here in the United States is the same country that outlawed the spending U.S. gold back in the Great Depression. And if we look at Greece, they froze everybody's bank accounts so people couldn't go over and withdraw their cash. So the moral of the story is that it doesn't matter where your money is at. The government can tap into it. So all treasure should be laid in heaven and not on earth. We should plan for tomorrow, but we cannot plan for a government that decides to go to turn against the people.
No, we can't. And you bring up great points. I would just say that there's going to be, if there is a catastrophe, the steps are going to be the very first thing the government's going to go after as far as actual, I'm talking about confiscation now, not just cutting back, though, you know, you could make a case. They regulate the banking system, and they can control that. But the first thing they're going to attack is the TSP program. It's going to be number one. And then it's going to move on to the other qualified monies. So I'll give you an example of what I'm thinking about. So back in 2008, when everybody thought the sky was falling, I didn't, and I never took the conspiracy theory notion. But I did say this: if you want to protect your money a little bit, if you think that's going to happen, you are concerned, then you ought to buy some currency of other sovereign nations that have very strong currencies. And I, back then, I was talking about the Singapore dollar and the Swiss franc primarily as the two strongest currencies then in the world. And I said that would help you. My argument was that would help you more than gold, because you'll still be able to buy a loaf of bread with that. But it was temporary, because it would be foolishness to think that a catastrophe here in America is not going to trickle through the global economy and impact the currencies of the world, and it would. So it was a temporary fix, but it would allow you to maybe do some things you couldn't do, that you're not going to do with gold. You may not slice off some gold at the grocery store to buy a bag of groceries, but it would be almost incomprehensible that the arrogance that America has right now, that has always had in reference to other currencies, where you can go, I've been literally in the jungles of third world countries and looked at cash registers in a store as big as a phone booth, where they have the exchange rate for every current, you know, the 20 current special, a little clip on going around the country, and they took pictures at mom and pop grocery stores and other stores that had signs on the door that we accept all currencies. And, you know, they talked a little bit about that very thing that I had been talking about for a couple years. So I get where you're coming from. I agree with you 100%. Most of all, I do this program first and foremost to help people understand that we are not to be driven by what moths and corrosion can eat away, and to be driven by pleasing God, not grieving his heart, and not worshiping the money that we have, and understand that God doesn't promise wealth, he promises provisions, and we will be provided for. And look, so I agree with you 100%, but that being said, I don't want anybody to be in their accumulation or savings phase and be 100% reliant upon what they're going to go after first. Once they confiscate TSP programs, I hate to scare all those postal workers, but the government monies that they can get their hands on, hopefully we'll have time to make some adjustments in all of our other accounts, although everybody else will be doing the same thing. But it's not Nothing is going to save us. And that's why my standing joke will always be, and it's not a joke, when people ask me, I just said this to somebody last week, that if you want to protect yourself, if you really want to prepare for a coming collapse, buy yourself a best pair of shoes that you can buy that has lots of support, because we're all going to be standing in the same soup line for a very long period of time every day. And it sounds, like a wise guy remark, but there's a lot of truth to it, because all the gold in the world's not going to save you. And even the cash that you have may not be able to save you. So anyway, good stuff. Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate you weighing in. I agree with you, and you bring a great perspective. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, we got another hour left. Another hour left. So we'll take your calls. We'll take a look at what we have on social media and answer those questions as well. Tomorrow night, I'll be here tomorrow morning, but tomorrow night, I'll be in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And I hope if you live anywhere near Memphis or anywhere near Olive Branch, you're going to come out to the town hall meeting. Doesn't cost anything. All you got to do is show up. Come as you are. It's very laid back. We'll have a great time. Olive Branch, Mississippi, Longview Heights Baptist Church. I hope I see you there tomorrow night. Remember, all that you have is his. Let's be a good and faithful steward. More financial issues right after this.
We ever forget that we're one nation under God.